This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. A big part of our national conversation about representation and Americans' relationship to history concerns our landmarks. This summer, the city of Monroe decided to update its downtown statue of George Armstrong Custer, the U.S. cavalry commander who led many campaigns against Native people and who was ultimately killed by a coalition of Native forces at Little Bighorn. The change was spurred by an online petition, and one of the names on that petition is that of Dr. Graham Denton, a chiropractor with offices in Monroe who has some personal history that informed his involvement. Dr. Denton, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me. I do appreciate it.
You grew up in Monroe, yes?
Yes. Was born here, graduated from Monroe High in 2002, and have returned about roughly just under 3 years ago to pursue chiropractic locally.
When you were growing up, what did you learn about General Custer?
You know, actually, I went to Meadow Montessori School, but graduated from the high school. And so I felt that they were allowing for a more progressive classroom. They weren't afraid to shy away. And I think that's because they had such a diverse student base compared to other schools in the area. They actually allowed my mother to come and speak a few times, especially concerning Columbus Day, and just to inform the classrooms in general about our culture. And I've found that those who are educated in that way have been some of the biggest proponents for the statue being relocated to a more appropriate historical site or museum.
Would you tell us a little bit about your family?
Yes, my mom is full-blood Cheyenne. We are both members of the Cheyenne Arapaho tribe out of Oklahoma, and that is the southern branch. My father and her moved here. They're originally born in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, which is the end of the Trail of Tears, actually. They met in high school. He mostly can identify with white European background, but he is a member of the Cherokee tribe as well.
Yeah.
But I guess if you want to run it percentage-wise, that would just make me about a 16th Cherokee also, more Cheyenne. But he moved up here because a gentleman invented a chiropractic technique. There are many. I don't think a lot of people know that. But he invented one in Monroe, Michigan in 1966. And at the time, my father experienced one of the adjustments and just really enjoyed it and just decided to move up here and learn.
He was so impressed by the technique, he decided to move here. Wow.
Yeah. And it was in school, driving up from Iowa every weekend and attending these kind of weekend seminars. At first, you know, the gentleman who invented it wasn't taking anyone on. But that kind of showed his seriousness. And eventually, you know, he invited him to practice with him along with my aunt. And unfortunately, Dr. Ralph Gregory never had children. And when his wife passed, we sort of became his surrogate family in a way, you know. He treated me like a grandson. So the progression was kind of natural to keep his office going. And I hope that my children or maybe my cousin's children would someday take over that role also. So that kind of shows that I've got ties to the community and hopefully invested for the future also.
How did the Custer statue that's in Monroe come to be on your radar this year?
It was actually, I was approached by Katie Beth Davis, who I graduated high school with. And the context for her coming was because she was highly involved with Black Lives Matter. And I don't know if it was someone driving by while they were protesting or if it was a comment in Facebook, but I believe someone taunted her and said, "Isn't that ironic that you're fighting for equality under the shadow of General Custer?" And that motivated her just enough to start this petition. And I believe she knew I was Native, but I'm not sure that she knew that I was Cheyenne and how intimately involved that tribe has been with in the American Indian War concerning Custer's campaign, along with Sheridan.
I believe it was the Cheyenne Arapaho tribal members who Custer was fighting at Little Bighorn when he was killed, right?
That is correct. He was fighting the northern band of our tribe.
Ah.
And those are representative of the branch called the Dog Warriors. And they're sort of our military branch of Cheyenne culture. We are of the southern Cheyenne tribe who sought peace with the U.S. government on the reservations. And actually, we unfortunately also ran into Custer even while seeking peace and were massacred. The northern branch also destroyed him at Little Bighorn, along with the Lakota Sioux and a couple other tribes that should be recognized. And that's basically me identifying as a Monroe resident, but also someone who is intimately linked to the history of Custer. And, you know, to be honest, I was just surprised that other people felt this way about Custer. That's why I never spoke up while going to Monroe High School or anything like that. I did find the textbooks a little bit lacking in information. I don't know if they try to persuade that Custer was this great person, but I certainly think that the representation around him now should be changed with the education.
Not everybody may know that Custer spent some time as a boy in Monroe, and he and his wife had a lot of friends in Michigan, and I believe that's part of the reason for the statue standing where it is today. Do you find that some people in Monroe feel like a positive personal connection or feeling about him?
Absolutely. And it would be egregious to underestimate and try not to understand where they're coming from. I completely understand that, especially because of his involvement in the Civil War. So with this movement and how it's happened, when speaking with opponents who will hear me out, I just go ahead and concede that. I say, yeah, sure. We'll consider him a Civil War hero. We can get that out of the way. And that's why you're defending, you know, his involvement, especially with other monuments coming down that are more Confederate related. You know, maybe there's some confusion there. Absolutely. And so, yep, there's some hometown pride. We have a Custer Week, even, where little children of the elementary schools come around and are taught about his Civil War achievements. I just would like, you know, and City Hall's kind of went this way too, with trying to do equal representation. Let's learn about his involvement in the American Indian War campaigns. Basically, what I'm saying is he probably should have just became a career politician after his involvement in the Civil War. And that's why he's such an interesting historical figure that makes him so polarizing. It would not do justice to people to say that good people cannot do bad things and bad people cannot do good things. That's simply untrue. And, you know, we should take a look at that. Absolutely.
How did you and Katie Beth and the other folks involved decide what to ask of the city about regarding the statue? I mean, there are some people who feel like, you know, monuments need to come down, and some who feel like it's important to have them stand, but to have them stand in a different context and with maybe some different information that people can use to understand history. How did you decide which way you'd try to go with it?
Absolutely. Personally, being a part-time history minor in undergrad, I wouldn't want to see history erased, which is what a lot of the opponents of this relocation said to us. It's hard for me to understand how putting it in a museum where we go to study history would be erasing that history. And if anything, coming from a member of a tribe who states that this person massacred us, I would never want people to forget about Custer and what he did, which I think is somewhat what's happening with all of this, because you just don't want something like that to ever happen again. The difference being the statues and their locations can glorify certain members. And I understand why they want that glorification because of the Civil War. And they argue that alone. But they just don't look at the whole picture, even on the plaque of the statue. You know, there's one little sentence. And he was also involved in the American Indian Wars, I believe is all it says. And it's like, well, and
the understatement of the century.
Absolutely. And, you know, my personal belief is, I'm not sure if I can speak for anyone else here, but, you know, my personal belief has always been, you know, why I'm involved in this. I'm usually a private person. My family are private people. But there was a conscious shift when I saw what was happening on the news. It looked to me like what was happening in the textbooks in the 1960s. And as a historian, I said, are we going to repeat that?
You mean the Black Lives Matter protests that have been in our streets for several months now?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there was a consciousness shift there. And I said, wow, that just shouldn't happen again. You know, it's been a long time and maybe I need to wake up. And so my idea was to start with the most marginalized people of Monroe County. And that might include people who are judged by the melanocyte count in their skin pigmentation. It might involve religious persecution. It could involve persecution based on gender. I mean, women in this country are very persecuted. Mm-hmm. That involves the classism that's created by poverty. And so I tried to explain to people that, you know, I look at this as a human rights issue more than how it's been politicized and polarized in that manner. And I try to explain that to opponents that see it that way, that, you know, a lot of white populations are involved in the people that I just mentioned. And so I'll champion them too. And I hope they hear that. this model is set forth by me to help the most marginalized people in Monroe County in order to bring them up to a level that can make all of Monroe County better. We set forth doing this by saying that we should not commit any crimes, that we should peacefully protest, because, again, I can't speak for the rest of the group, but I just personally felt that violent protesting with the demographics of Monroe County, they just wouldn't listen to us, you know, if we did that. And I think that just tearing down a statue by yourself with a truck is not a powerful statement, but winning over the hearts and minds of Monroe County and coming to a democratic vote, perhaps, or through the democratic process to make changes, that's powerful.
Well, at this point, 13,800 people plus signed the petition asking for a change, and the group was able to reach a compromise with the city. What did the city agree to do?
To be honest, I want to thank them and their involvement through this. At first, it looked like it was going to go exactly how it was based on the demographics of Monroe County. I didn't even think they would listen, really. But, you know, they have, and their response has been pretty good through all this. I want to mention that. And the agreement is that a new installation of history will be done. I'm not sure if that just means a plaque or several plaques. They hope it's a little bit grander. I've actually been privileged to have a few private meetings with just the city manager and the city council recently after this compromise. The city manager is the one who knows about the most about this project. And I asked him, do you want to just encompass Custer's actual involvement in the American Indian War? And he stated, no, not just that. He wants the entire context of the American Indian War to be portrayed. And the reason for that is they've just done a new Battlefield of River Raisin installation, and that attempts to, you know, tell history in an accurate portrayal also. And that just didn't portray the native populations well mm-hmm. in the area. And that's because at the time of that history, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And so there's a drive in Monroe to have this accurate information. And so when some of their citizens came to them and said, you need to look at all of it, I think that they agreed because of that reason. And so it is their hope to accurately portray history. And I kind of jokingly asked the city manager, Vincent Pastu, do you think Monroe County is ready for that? If you actually install what happened, because a lot of people will say, you know, there is the opinion that a genocide and a massacre was committed there. And I've heard all reasons from all opponents arguing why Custer and things like that. And I'm definitely prepared to logically meet them and talk about it.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Graham Denton. He's a chiropractor with offices in Monroe, the town where he grew up. He's also a citizen of the Cheyenne Arapaho Southern Band. Have you ever visited Little Bighorn or another site that Custer was involved in and seen, like, sort of how some of these historical markers have been updated?
You know, I haven't been able to, but I've talked to people who went to Sand Creek in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. That's the only national monument with the word massacre in it.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask about Little Bighorn is it's one of those sites that has been updated with some additional information and, you know, markings and plaques that talk about what happened. And actually, though, it has been done in such a way you can definitely tell that these things were added later. And I just wondered if you have any thoughts on, is it important to recognize that sometimes history is evaluated and reevaluated, or are there reasons to think that we might need to design our monuments in such a way that these things don't look like an addendum?
Yes, absolutely. I think that a few opponents of what we're doing would say, how can you judge, you know, Custer on the scope of now? And I, you know, you'd have to agree. You would absolutely have to take in the historical context of the time. But I still think there are people out there, including myself, that would argue that even by today's standards and the standards back then, that he could be labeled as a war criminal. And I realize that's kind of a slippery slope definition. But, you know, I think that when they install these new installations here, talking about his involvement in the American Indian War, if they bring in the actual expert to explain it to him, they this is sort of too to uncover a truth that was probably lost for various reasons throughout the decades. You know, it's hard sometimes. And I saw this when I visited South Africa. It was quite different, but you had people talking about apartheid mm-hmm. because there was an official government apology. So it was a different landscape than what happens in America. But it's hard to, I'm sure it would be hard for someone to say that their ancestors you know, participated in some of these events, it's hard to remember how this country was founded. You took this land from one people, you had another people work it for free, and now that cycle, that people are saying there's repercussions through that throughout history. And that's sort of what embodies, to me, the Black Lives Matter movement. I would start with saying, you know, of course, history is written by the victors. And so that's not a surprise in a lot of cases that there's misrepresentations of the facts when that can happen. I'm just calling for, in this event, in relation to Custer, for people to look at all the facts, actually, because I think that they're only looking at his Civil War campaign. And if they actually knew the true information on his American Indian War campaign, they potentially might feel differently about how he's represented in the town.
Can I ask, is your mom still with us?
Yes.
What does she think when she heard what was happening with the Custer statue?
You know, she's pretty excited about it because I'm sure she feels the same manner. To give you a context of how Cheyennes feel, I was privileged through this whole thing to talk to my governor of my tribe, and that's kind of the highest elected official in the tribe,
right?
Concerning elected officials as opposed to chief, which is more society-based. So that was an honor. And of course, I asked him when we were deciding what to do with the statue, you know, based on what was happening with everything out there, we wanted sort of a unity project, you know, just move this guy and do something like, oh, shoot, a protester in the street with policemen coming together or something like that. Some sort of unity project that showed that Monroe County could do it differently. Because again, that was our message for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I explained this to the governor of my tribe and he said, hey, look, I get it. That's a nice message. But as you know, without a better comparison in history, we feel the way about Custer and others who participate in that, most likely how Jewish people relate to Hitler and his policies of extermination.
Right.
And I said, of course, I get that. But a lot of people didn't. You know, the city manager was surprised and said he didn't hear that analogy before. And I said, well, maybe through this whole process and bringing experts in from universities out west and maybe tribal affiliated members who have the right history credentials, you might learn why the Cheyenne feel this way and why it might be a little shocking to some that you represent Custer in this manner. Again, I'm from Monroe. I'm representing from that side, too, as opposed to the Native sides. Certainly, Natives who grew up on reservations, they might not even talk to people who wanted to keep the statue up. Whereas, of course, as a Monroe resident, I like that City Hall, you know, spoke with us and has been so open about everything. And, you know, a compromise has been reached. And yeah, I'd still like to see the statue relocated. But again, this was always a long-term project for me. Maybe in 25 years, a Monroe County resident family will walk by. And if they put the truth about what happened to tribes like mine in the American Indian War, and possibly see my argument for why I consider Custer a war criminal back then, and by today's standards. And I can always talk to people about that. But, you know, maybe they see that and say, okay, why is this person across from the biggest church in downtown Monroe in the beautiful scenic downtown river area? You know, maybe we should move them. So who knows? I think through education, though, that is the only way that we're going to be able to understand maybe each other and where there's coming from. I think that a lot of cognitive dissonance comes from not knowing history. I think that brutal things happen in history, but to give credit to it, to properly interpret it, which is what's important about history, you at least need to tell all the facts, you know?
You know, I think a lot of times white Americans may see issues like this as less important than some other things going on in their lives in this moment because they don't think that they know any Native people. Is there anything that we can and should be doing about that?
You know, I think, again, you have plenty of educational opportunities. Through this whole process, I have been blessed to increase my Rolodex with people who really want to make a difference in Monroe County. And I'm not saying whatever side of the political spectrum they're on, they want to make a difference and help people. And that's really what's important. And so I think that there's educational opportunities. And what I was going to say is I met the director of the Rotary Club, the local Rotary Club, and he said, you know, we have someone come in once or twice a month of a different culture and just simply explain. And I go, that sounds familiar. That sounds like what my mother was doing for the Monroe Meadow Montessori School when I attended it. And that's great because people, again, understand the issues and they get involved because they just see it as a simple fact. So I would start there, definitely. And not just with Native people, of course. Unfortunately, we get grouped together, and that's a dangerous thing that I'm seeing with everything, grouping all Black Lives Matter protesters together, grouping all maybe possibly right-wing counter-protesters together, grouping all natives. There's hundreds of tribes in this country. And obviously, I'm not even educated on all the ways of the tribe, but I would definitely start there with just simple education on each culture would lead to further understanding, less cognitive dissonance about what's happening, and less confusion, which might lead to more confrontation, which is, in a sense, what I'm seeing when looking at this whole thing from an interpretation of history, if you will. I really thought that it was important that the way that this group moved about doing it was we wanted to use the democratic process as opposed to having, tearing it down in different manner. Even if the mayor of Monroe came and just ripped it down, I'm not sure if that's a complete victory for this group because, again, you've alienated the majority of the population here in Monroe County. So the way we've went about it, I really have enjoyed, and even city council has mentioned on their meetings, just the way that we've done it without committing any crimes, without turning towards violence, of course, because that was why I asked, why were they so initially apprehensive to meet with us? And they said, honestly, we just didn't know who you were. And with everything going on in Detroit and a few of our city council members are up there, we weren't sure if you were a violent group or not. And I said, fair enough. But now that you've met me in the way that I speak as a Monroe County resident, moving forward, I am excited to see what the city does with this. Because in my hopes that there still be an education for the county on what General Custer represents. And there's still movement forward with this because just yesterday at a Monroe County school board meeting, Katie Beth Davis called for the changing of the Custer Elementary School as well. So we'll see kind of where this goes.
I hate to qualify, but I'm sure that there are some folks who live in Detroit who may be listening to this conversation right now and saying, wait a minute, that's not what I saw at our protests. Is it hard that you may have to be confronting people's perceptions of what's going on in other places, in other parts of the country, even as you're trying to get them to hear your own conversation about what could be happening in your town?
Absolutely. That is a double-edged sword in this case, because at the same time, the momentum for all of this, I realize, is because of the polarized state of politics in this current situation. But that's the leading driving motivational force behind this movement, bringing attention to the Custer statue. But at the same time, I've had to backtrack a few times and tell people, look, I'm not throwing firebombs, and things like that, that I would, like I said, myself denounce. I completely understand why someone who feels that way would act out in that manner. But I don't, just because you understand something doesn't mean you have to condone it or agree with it.
Right.
And so, yeah, I would say that that's important, in that sense that we've acted differently, because otherwise people would just not hear that message. But also you've had to defend yourself at times because people think that you're sending a completely different message than you are. We've always from the start wanted to be, of course, nonviolent, because these are my neighbors. I don't want to upset 90% of my neighbors in Monroe County. If anything, I knew that this would be an aggressive message, that they had some hometown pride towards this person. And so I made sure for this campaign to always go home and be able to look myself in the mirror and just say that the way that you've done this is through education, and then you made them make up their own decision. It's not fair of me to force the hand of 90% of Monroe County if they don't want that. But if I bring them truth and they say that they still want this gentleman, well, fair play to them. Then, that's a different conversation we can have. Yeah. But I guess there are steps to everything. And I always knew that this government process would be, in my opinion, I thought it was a 5 to 10 year project. And if not further, if they don't relocate the statue after that.
Dr. Graham Denton lives in Monroe and works there as well. Thank you so much for talking to us about this.
I really appreciate you having me on. The most important thing I would say is we're trying to showcase what we can do here in hopes that others around other counties can bring change in a similar fashion. Thank you again.